To deal with verses 1 through 13 in Acts chapter 2 this morning. If we could have been a fly on the wall in your house this morning as you were getting ready for church, I wonder what the mood of the house would have been like. I'm going to pick on Jeff and Anna for a second because I can't fathom what it must be like to try to get five ready for church. And don't forget the dog. I just can't fathom that. I remember when we were younger and our kids were younger, Janice most definitely did the yeoman's work in that, as I would always get up earlier and read over my sermon and that kind of stuff on Sunday mornings. Always been a part of my routine. Janice would take care of the kids and getting them ready. And with two kids, we still managed to get in the car and ride together to church. You know, nowadays, even when they're home with us, we might actually come to church in four cars. Sometimes three, but back then we would ride together even when the kids were young and all that going on. But I can't imagine what it must be like and the chaos of that. But let's be honest for just a second. When we think about it, getting ready for church on Sunday morning, most of getting ready for church on Sunday morning is about getting up, eating, getting dressed, and getting out the door to church. And depending on your how you're wired, Kara, you may be a little bit behind. I pick on Kara because she's like my daughter in that respect. You know, some of us are wired to get places early, and some of us are not, and it's okay. But the reality is it can be that we a lot of our attention on Sunday morning is about coming to church, just being present. But the truth is, we should be preparing to be in God's house. The truth is, we should be asking God to prepare our hearts, and we should be expecting to be with God at church. We need to pray that He would help our hearts to be ready to hear from Him, that our hearts would be ready to worship Him as we sing His praise. So I want us to take a look at an amazing time in the life of the church where we can see that God showed up in a very real way. And as we deal with this, I know this is a familiar text. This is the day of Pentecost. I want to be very clear up front. There was one day of Pentecost. There will only be one day of Pentecost. So don't think in any way, shape, or form as we walk through this morning that I'm implying that we can have another day of Pentecost. There will only be one, just like there was only one talking donkey, okay? I realize there's a few that we kind of question, maybe close to a donkey, but anyway. That's something else. But anyway, Acts chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each one of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and in Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in their own tongues." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." May the Lord add richly to the reading of His word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for amazing grace. And God, we just ask You to open our hearts and minds to learn a little more about what we can take away from this wonderful, amazing day, Pentecost. God, I pray You'd move in our hearts today. I pray right now that I might decrease, that You might increase, Lord. In my weakness, may You be made strong. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If I have to cough, I will try to remember to turn my microphone off so you don't have to endure that. But what should we expect when we come to church? What to expect when we come to church? First of all, we should expect God to meet His people. Now, one thing you need to realize about the day of Pentecost, it was on a Sunday. Sunday was, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and it became the primary day for worship in the New Testament church. Pentecost was the feast of weeks in the Old Testament. It was celebrated 50 days after Passover. It also became the time that the Jews celebrated the giving of the law of Moses. And I find it somewhat interesting that God would have Pentecost and have this mighty outpouring of his Spirit on the day that they celebrated the giving of the law of Moses, on a day that in this case was a celebration of God's grace. This is a further sign of the grace of God. Now in verse 1, we see that the people were gathered in the upper room, and there's no reason to think that this group of people in any way, shape, or form was limited to the apostles. We know from our reading of Acts chapter 1, this upper room would hold at least 120 people. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a big bonus room to me. But it wasn't unusual in that day. As a matter of fact, it was pretty common in that day that they would have a large room above their home. And in this particular case, they had this large room that would hold this large group. And I guess you could say that they were meeting in upper room Christian church that Sunday, because this was the believers. But they were there waiting on the Lord. What we learn from the text is that suddenly the Spirit of God fell upon them. Now, I'm so glad that we're not told exactly what they were doing the moment the Spirit of God fell. And let me tell you why I'm glad that we're not told that, because we have the tendency in the church as Christians to prescribe God. You know, do this, this, and this, and you'll get this. God works in his own way, in his own time, and as you walk throughout Scripture, you'll see, like I said before, you see one talking donkey, you see one burning bush, you see one ark. On and on again, we see how God acted in specific ways at specific times with specific people. And he'll work that way in our lives. So I'm grateful we don't have some sort of methodology here to fall on and to say, oh, look, if you do this, this, and this, you can expect to have the Spirit of God fall in a powerful way. The point we might miss here that's important, I believe, is that they were expecting, they were anticipating something from God. Jesus had told them to wait until God sent his power. So they had expectant hearts. Now, they couldn't have possibly known what God was going to do like this. God hadn't done anything like this before. So they were anticipating that God was going to work. They were looking for God to do something. The first church I pastored was a little rural country church out in Windsor, South Carolina. It was Mount Beulah Baptist Church. And you can imagine this church is about 190 years old now. So over the course of time, they've had a number of pastors through the years, for sure. But I remember walking into that old sanctuary. They've since built a new sanctuary across the street. But I can remember walking into that old sanctuary, and just above the door, inside in the little foyer entryway into the church, was a picture of a previous pastor. Now, that pastor, based on the picture, probably pastored sometime in the late 1800s, maybe early 1900s, just based on his appearance and dress and that kind of thing. But I remember several of the people in the church had stories about him. One particular story that stood out to me is there was a time in this little farming community, as much as the South was at the time, where they had been without rain for some time. And you know, if you've ever been around farming at all, obviously you need rain. I mean, if you've had a yard, you understand that reality. So the pastor decided they were going to have a special prayer service, and he told the church when to come, and they would have this prayer service. Well, as people showed up for this service, if they didn't come dressed with rain gear, if they didn't bring an umbrella, he sent them home. Told them they didn't have enough faith. Seriously. Then as they began to pray about God sending rain, indeed it rained that day. They expected God to show up, and he did. When was the last time you came to church and you expected God to show up? You see, God wants to be here with us. He wants to do a work in our lives. But when have you come expecting him to do a work in your life that Sunday, to be in his presence that day? Do you feel like you may be a bit dry spiritually? Listen, I say this, and I'm not being judgmental in it at all. I'm saying this. It may be that we're not experiencing God at church because we're coming to church and we're not expecting something from God. We must come with an expectant heart, desiring to hear from him. I want to say it's not your Bible study teacher's fault if you don't hear from God. I know our Bible study teachers, they work hard and they prepare their studies for Sunday morning at 9:45. And if you're not plugged into a Bible study on Sunday morning, I want to encourage you. Get plugged into a Bible study. Come. Our teachers work hard to prepare. It's not Doug's fault if you come in and you're not blessed by the music. It's because our hearts are not ready to worship him. You see, styles of music, frankly, they don't matter. It's about what the text of the song says. It's about focusing our attention upon him. If you don't hear from God when I preach, it may be that it's your heart not being prepared to hear. And listen, I can preach plenty of stinkers, okay? I know that reality, but the truth is sometimes I'm afraid we come to church and our attitude is more like, God, I'm here today. I hope you're happy. Now bless me. Now, it may not be outward, and we may not be conscious of that, but inside, that's where we are sometimes. But God wants to meet with you today. He wants to meet you at your point of need. God wants to love on you today, and he wants you to be excited about your Christian life. You have a gift that the lost world doesn't have a clue about right now. We have a Heavenly Father that knows us better than any person in this room, and our Heavenly Father looks forward to spending time with us. The question is, are you interested in seeing God show up at church? Do you really want him to show up in your life? We have a responsibility as individual Christians to create an atmosphere in our lives where God can show up. You say, well, I haven't heard from God lately. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been making time for God a priority in your life? Have you been spending time in his word? Have you been spending time in prayer? If you haven't heard from God, it could be that he doesn't matter to you in your day. I mean, God wrote on the wall once, don't expect him to do that in your life. I'll be honest, I'd love for him to send me an email, text message, or something. But the truth is, he's already spoken in his word. And he tells me that if I'll spend time in his word, I'll hear from him. He tells me if I'll spend time in prayer, that I'll hear from him. And I have to be willing to seek him and desire for him to show up. We may not hear a mighty rushing wind, and we may not see something that appears as tongues of fire, but we will and can know that God has shown up when we expect him to show up and we see him move in a powerful way. Let me ask you, do you really think it is any less of a miracle when God changes a dead in sin person to a new creation in Christ than when he showed up on the day of Pentecost? I don't think it is. Only God can take someone who's dead and dying in their sin and forgive them and turn them into a new creation in Christ. That's an incredible, amazing miracle. I know Sunday mornings can be busy, but as you prepare to come and be in God's house on Sunday morning, I want to challenge you and encourage you to make sure you prepare in the most important way, and that is to ask God to do a work in your life. God, I pray I would experience your presence today. God, I pray that I would hear from you today. So ask him to do that work in you. He wants to meet with us every moment of every day. And as I've said so many times before, the truth is our worship here ought to be an overflow of our worship every day of the week. It should be the fact that we spent time with God every day of the week. So we should expect God to meet his people at church. Secondly, we should expect God to move his people. Now, what we see in this text is when God met his people, he moved them. That is to say, they were led to action. You see, one of the manifestations of the Spirit, when we know God has truly shown up, is we notice that we're motivated to action for the kingdom of God. In this case, it was pretty dramatic as these believers were led to speak in tongues that were not native to them. As you look at the text, you'll see that the people from various lands and various backgrounds were hearing these common Galileans speaking in their own native tongue. Now, some have argued as to whether or not this was a gift of speech or whether it was a gift of hearing. You know what the answer is to that? Yes. I don't know if they were actually speaking different languages so these people would hear it. I don't know if God just put a translator in their ear for a moment. I don't know, but I know he did a miracle that day and they heard from God in the language that they could understand. And they began to glorify God and to speak of his wonderful attributes, and other people were hearing the truth in their language that they could understand. And the main point here is that God's people met God and they could not help but to be moved by meeting God. When we meet God in a real way, we're going to want to tell others about him. We're going to be motivated to serve him. We're going to be moved to do whatever God might be leading us to do. The sad thing about the church a lot of the time is the reason we're not moved to action and we've become so apathetic is because we have not met with God lately. There are people that come to church week after week and are content with an ordinary life, being a good person by the world's standard, just showing up to church and doing the same thing over and over and over. Sing all the songs, pray a little prayer, listen to the message and tell the preacher what a good sermon it was, but they're not motivated to action. I have to tell you, when we hear from God, when we experience his presence, we're going to be motivated to action. We're going to be moved to do as God leads. Motivational speakers are a wonderful thing. They can be a great thing in a business. It can be very productive for a company to bring in a motivational speaker and encourage the employees to do things, to want more, to want to achieve more. And there's nothing wrong with being excited about your job or your future. But it's sad to think as Christians that we would need motivational speakers when we have the truth of God. We have his word. You know, one of the things that we learn from church history is we learn a little bit about how preaching was in times past. And if you ever study the person of Jonathan Edwards, it's one of the most amazing things to me to think about the fact that the Great Awakening was taking place as Jonathan Edwards is preaching. And yet everything we know about Jonathan Edwards is he was dry and monotone and he read every word of his sermons. Now, if you showed up to church today, and I had my head down reading every single word of my message and stayed on one level of speech the whole time that I spoke, you'd go to sleep on me. But from everything we know about Jonathan Edwards, he wasn't much more than that. And yet while he was preaching, people would be broken and at the altar praying because it's not about the messenger. It's about the message of God, and it's about the God behind that message. When we spend time with God and remember all that he's done for us, it will motivate us to give our all for him. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I realize that God has given us other believers to encourage us and to help us in our walk. And listen, I'm blessed by those who God has gifted with that ability to communicate the word of God in a very powerful way. They've been a blessing in my life, and we truly need one another to help us, to encourage us. And we need one another to help us stay on track and to stay strong in the faith. However, I have noticed, even at times in my own life, that we're often more likely to turn to a brother or sister in Christ than we are to turn to the one who actually has the answer. We have the living God, and he will answer us. You know, I've done the illustration before. Have a young person come up on stage, and I tell them that they have to figure out what number I'm thinking of between 1 and 100. And they can ask anybody in the room for help. Anybody in the room for help. Well, who knows the number? Me. I didn't make myself off limits, but it's amazing how many times they'll be looking around the room thinking, But folks, we're that way when it comes to when we need help. you remember the show where you could have a phone a friend or that kind of thing? Folks, we have a direct line to God. And he's the one with the answer. Now, that's not to say that we don't ask other believers, but start in the right place. Start with God and allow him to speak to you. And then maybe you go to a trusted brother or sister in the faith. I'm afraid we need to be willing to wait on hearing from God. And sometimes in our fast-paced everything society, we're just not willing to wait. But we need to make sure we've heard from God and give him time to speak to us. Joni Erickson Tada shared this story. My art instructor, an excellent craftsman, told me a compelling story about the benefits of diligent work. Many years ago, there was a famous Japanese artist named Hokusai whose paintings were coveted by royalty. One day a nobleman requested a special painting of his prized bird, and he left the bird with Hokusai, and the artist told the nobleman to return in a week. The master missed his beautiful bird and was anxious to return at the end of the week, not only to secure his favorite pet, but his painting as well. When the nobleman arrived, however, the artist humbly requested a 2-week postponement. The 2-week delay stretched into 2 months and then 6. A year later, the nobleman stormed into Hokusai's studio. He refused to wait any longer, demanded both his bird and his painting. Hokusai, in the Japanese way, bowed to the nobleman, turned to his workshop table, and picked up a brush and a large sheet of rice paper. Within moments, he had effortlessly painted an exact likeness of the lovely bird. The bird's owner was stunned by the painting, and then he was angry. He said, "Why did you keep me waiting for a year if you could have done the painting in such a short time?" "You don't understand," Hokusai replied. Then he escorted the nobleman into a room where the walls were covered with paintings of the same bird. None of them, however, matched the grace and beauty of the final rendering. This must also be true of the canvas of our lives. If we want to have something of real worth and lasting value in our character, it won't come easy. It never does. God wants to do a work in your life. And sometimes that may mean a long season of struggle. But we have to trust God's timing. If Romans 8:22 8:28 is true, it's true every day. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You may be going through a very difficult time right now, but it could be that God's just building your character. As a matter of fact, I don't want to say it could be, it is. God is building your character. We touched on it in Bible study this morning about the reality that there are trials in our life, sometimes of correction and sometimes of perfection. Sometimes God's trying to bring us back from a choice we made that was wrong. In other cases, sometimes God is just perfecting us, strengthening us through that trial. But rest assured, God is always going to work with your best interest in mind. And when your feelings tell you otherwise, trust God's promises instead. I'm afraid that many of us are afraid of being moved to action. The reason we don't want to experience God is because we're afraid of how that might look if we do. I'm kind of happy with my comfortable faith. I'm kind of happy just sitting back, you know, show up every now and then, give a little bit, pray a little bit. I'm kind of happy in that. You know, I want a little bit of that. Listen, folks, when we understand who God is, we want everything. We want his all. Now, that's not to say we're going to be perfect. By any stretch of the imagination, we're still going to struggle, but we need to let God move and work and reach into our lives and cause us to be moved to action. When we allow God to move in our hearts, we're going to care about those around us who are lost. We're going to be broken by those who are in need around us. Could it be that we're afraid to let God move us to action because we're afraid of what those around us might think? Pray that God would give us the courage to let him move us as he sees fit, regardless of how we might look to others. So we should expect God to meet with his people at church, and we should expect God to move in his people. But thirdly, when we come to church, we should expect God to minister to people. Now, you'll notice that we've already mentioned briefly, everyone heard them praising God in their own language. Now, that's whatever language they knew, they heard uneducated Galileans speaking their language. These Galileans didn't know that many languages. This was a sovereign God who was moving in a mighty way so that people would hear the truth and the word of God. But this should point out to us that when we come to God's house, we can expect God to meet us where we are and to minister to us right where we are. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come out of church and say, "Preacher, I don't know how you knew, but I needed to hear that sermon today." I didn't know. I don't have any way of knowing. I mean, I realize, you know, there are cameras everywhere nowadays, but I don't have any cameras in your home, don't worry. But God knows. See, there's not a thing that we can do that he doesn't already know about. And when he's leading me and as I prepare sermons, and then even as I preach, I can assure you, if you were to look at my notes versus what comes out of my mouth sometimes, you'd see sometimes how different the two are. But the truth is, I pray that God would lead me because God knows what you need to hear. You know, sometimes, I got to be honest, sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, it's God preaching to me. And then he leads me a little different when I share it with you. The Holy Spirit can soften our hardened heart and draw us to God. And sometimes it will be a song that starts that process. Sometimes it will be a verse of scripture. Sometimes it'll be a sentence that we hear. But rest assured, God wants to meet you at your point of need. God wants to minister to his people if we'll let him. The problem is that a lot of the time we're like Peter and we don't want Jesus to wash our feet. But Jesus says, hold on a minute. I want you to have a part of me. I want you to experience me. There were some people around on that day of Pentecost that resisted God, and because they heard God being praised, they could no longer resist him, and they came to faith in Christ that day. So sometimes we miss God even when he's working at our point of need because we've hardened our heart toward him. When I was serving in Henderson, North Carolina, while I was in seminary, there was a young man in the church there, and I did music and youth in that church, and he was in the youth group, and I remember he seemed to be growing in the Lord for a period of time, and then it came to a point where it was almost like somebody had flipped the switch. And he stopped showing up to church, started dating a girl, and just drifted away. And literally a week or so after he broke up with this girl, he was in a terrible accident in his little S10 pickup truck. Hit a telephone pole, and it splintered the pole, and the pole literally broke and came into the truck on the passenger side. If there'd been anybody in the truck, they would have been killed. But you can imagine, telephone pole right here, you're sitting right here, how close he was to his life coming to end in a moment. And I can remember visiting with him after that and talking with him and trying to help him realize that God had spared his life for a reason. But as far as I know to this day, that young man never turned back to the Lord. That young man never came back to walking with God. God sought to get his attention in a very powerful way, but because of a hardened heart, he was missing God. When we're fighting God, we can miss it when he's trying to minister to us. Sometimes he'll use other people to minister to us. He may give them just the words that we need to hear, but we miss them because we're unwilling to let them minister to us, or we want God to minister to us in a particular way. When you're, as a Christian, when you're praying and asking God to work, when you're praying and asking God to speak into your life, be open and aware. Now, hear me, I'm going to say it a million times if I can. If you ever think God is speaking to you and it is not consistent with the Word of God, you're not hearing from God. God will always be consistent with his Word. So make sure that what you're hearing God say is true to his Word. But sometimes we become so consumed with our situation and our problem that we don't even realize it where it is that we need to be ministered to in the first place. We think we have a problem with our spouse when in reality the problem's in our own walk with God. We think we have a problem with a coworker, a bad attitude that they have, when in reality it's sin that we're coveting in our life, that we're holding on to in our life. They're just the instrument that God is using to expose that. Or maybe you're hurting, but you think you can recover on your own. God wants to minister to you, and he wants to take you into his arms and love that hurt away. Jesus told us to cry out to him as Abba, Father. There's an intimacy in that word. I don't think the English word daddy really does it justice. There's an intimacy in that word. He is the one we can run to. And I know sometimes as men, we don't like the sound of this concept, but we need to get our brain around this concept a little bit. And that's that he wants us in many ways just to crawl up into his lap and spend time with him and listen to him and let him minister to us. Let God be that close relationship, that daddy, that father in your life. When you come to church, expect your loving Heavenly Father to be here waiting on you and desiring to minister to you. I want to give you a word of warning that we can see in this passage, though. When we come to church expecting God to meet and God moves us and ministers to us, those around us are going to think we're crazy. Notice what happened in the text. They're drunk. In other words, they were saying they're nuts. They are off their rocker. They've been in the stuff way too early. It was in the morning, by the way. You know what I pray? I pray that people would think we're a little crazy because they see so much of the presence of God on us. And if you really stop and think about it, shouldn't we be praying that we would be out of our mind? Hold on, bear with me. The Word of God says we're to take on the mind of Christ. So the truth is we really ought to be out of our mind, allowing Him to transform us and to change us that we think more like Him. How can you change the way you get ready for church? First of all, take time to prepare your heart by praying for God to meet with you at church. Number two, listen to God's voice when He does speak to you at church, and He will if you'll be open to hear from Him. And then number three, walk with Him every day so that you're already in tune with Him. So did you come to church today expecting to hear from God? I believe if you came to church expecting to hear from God today, you heard from God. God has been speaking to you along the way, and it's not because of me by any stretch of the imagination, because I'm just a talking donkey. But God meets us when we expect to hear from Him. If you weren't prepared to meet with God today, maybe He surprised you. Maybe He spoke to you, even though you weren't really prepared. But I would encourage you, spend time with Him every day so that when you come on Sunday, you're expecting to hear from Him. And you're expecting Him to work in the lives of those around you. What if, oh man, what if on Saturdays, the body of Christ, you and I, were praying that God would show up, and we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ that God would show up in their life too. What if we did that week after week? I got to tell you, I believe it'd transform this church in a powerful way. And we're blessed to have a good church. But I pray God would do a work in our lives because we're expecting Him to work. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that doesn't know God. Perhaps you've never placed your faith in Christ. Listen, I realize there's not anything really I can do other than just tell you the truth. The truth is every single one of us are born sinners. Every single one of us. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. But I love the fact that the verse doesn't stop there, because it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ left heaven and He came to earth. We celebrate His coming in this season of Christmas. But I pray we could celebrate His coming into your life by you being willing to ask His forgiveness and invite Him into your life. He wants to save you, and He can. He's done everything necessary. You simply have to admit your need and invite Him into your life. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. Listen, brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're going through. I realize for many, this season is a tough time. For some of you, it's because of loss and or those family members who have gone on in the Lord, or maybe relationships that are hurting, and there's things that this season just brings up that hurt. Maybe it's the pressure of getting gifts. It's the concerns of finances, whatever. I don't know. But I do know this. We have an enemy who wants to rob you of the joy of this season. Don't give him a victory in your life. Look to Christ, trust His promises, and be reminded of the fact that He left heaven and came to earth for you so that you could have Him in your life. Maybe you just need to come and kneel at the altar and ask God to help you enjoy Him in this season. Maybe your heart's burdened today for a loved one or a friend that you know that doesn't know the Lord, and maybe you want to come kneel at the altar and pray for them to come to faith in Christ. But whatever you need to do business with God right now, He's here waiting on you today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your amazing love. God, we thank You for the work that You've done in our lives and the work that You're going to do. God, I pray for us as Christians as we celebrate this season of Your coming, that, Lord, we would be able to rejoice in everything, knowing that You gave up heaven to come to earth for us so that we could have everything through You. But God, for that one who's here today that doesn't know You, I pray that today they'd ask Your forgiveness and invite You into their life. They would know that through You they can have forgiveness and eternal life. God, whatever the needs, whatever the burdens right now, we give this invitation time to You and ask You to have Your way in this place. It's in Your precious, wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.